miscommunication and mix-up, we're actually going to have Brother Steve Sidler on the 31st, as opposed to him being here tonight. So make sure you're here on the 31st to hear Brother Steve Sidler from the Dominican Republic. But if you please take your Bibles, we're going to be in Matthew chapter 6, verse 25. If you will all please stand, we're going for the reading of the Word of God, Matthew chapter 6. I'm going to start reading in verse 25. It starts off, it says, "Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat, or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body more than raiment? Behold, the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit into his stature?" I'll be honest, I wish I could add just one cubit to my stature. I would love to be just a little bit taller. "And why take ye thought the lilies of the field, how they grow? They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you, that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow are cast into an oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought. For the morrow shall take thought of the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof." I want to preach a message entitled, "He's Got This." Amen. He's Got This. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I do thank you and praise you for the opportunity we have to come into your house, to worship you, to read your word, to learn from you and hear from you. I do pray that you please fill me with the Holy Spirit, so I preach that you'd move me out of the way, that these people would hear you and not me. I do pray all these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated. We live in a society where a lot of people are worried about, you know, what kind of clothes. Did I not turn it on? Okay, hopefully that worked. Did it work? I'm trying to talk. Oh, there we go. It's on now. So we're living in a society, in a world where everybody is concerned about what they need or what they want. They want the best clothes, they want the best shoes, they want the best. But then you also have the folks that are on the opposite side that are so worried on, well, am I going to be able to provide for my family tomorrow? Am I going to be able to provide for my needs tomorrow? Well, as Christians, we shouldn't be worrying about that, because we have the person that created all things. In this passage, Jesus is speaking to the people and is showing and trying to demonstrate and show them not to worry. I'm using Bethany's Bible. I don't have mine tonight. And for the start of this paragraph, it says, "Teachings on worry." He goes through and begins to, you know, he says, in verse 25, he starts off, "Therefore I say unto you, take no thought." Why? Why should we take no thought? Because God's got this.
Amen.
How do I know he's got it? You say, how do you know? I'm glad you asked that question. Let's go back to Genesis. How do we know he's got this? Well, he showed it to us from the beginning. He started with creation. In the beginning, in Genesis chapter 1, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form or void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep,
And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, amazing. I pause here sometimes when sharing the gospel with people or talking to someone that believes in a Big Bang. They say, well, I believe in the Big Bang Theory. And I said, really, you do? So do I. And they said, well, wait a minute. I thought you said you were a Christian. Well, yeah, I am. Then how can you believe in a Big Bang? Oh, well, because the Bible says, God said. Have you ever been to the ocean? Well, yeah. Have you ever heard the waves crash against the land or crash against the rocks? Well, yeah, I said, it's a pretty loud noise, isn't it? I was at Niagara Falls just a few weeks ago, and hearing those falls roaring over the falls and hitting the water and hitting the rocks beneath, it was quite loud. My Bible says that God's voice is that loud. Amen. So the Big Bang was God simply saying, let there be light. And what happened? There was light. Verse 4, and God saw the light and that it was good. In verse 6, it says, and God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters. In verse 9, it says, and God said, let the waters under the heavens be gathered together into one place. In verse 14, it says, and God said. Throughout the entire chapter 1, God shows us his power that he's got it with creation. By simply just speaking all of eternity into existence at one moment. So number one, he shows us that he's got it through creation. Well, how else does he show us he has it? Because he created you and me. In Genesis 1, in verse 26, and God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let him have dominion over the fish of the sea, and of the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. He has it in creation. He has it in the fact that he created you and I. People think that we're far superior than anything because of pride. Well, someone had to create us. Someone had to take all of the atoms that form the body and create a man. In chapter 2, we see where God created not just the man, but he breathed into him the breath of life. Amen. In verse 7 of chapter 2, it says, and the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground. You know, the saying, God made dirt, and dirt don't hurt, came from here. Because we were formed of dirt, so. And breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And man became a living soul. So we see God has everything under control, just right here with the creation of the universe and of man. But how else does God have it? Let's look back at our text, Matthew chapter 6. Now, I enjoy this section because I am a landscaper. I enjoy working in the garden. I enjoy working in the yard. In verse 28 of chapter 6, it says, and take no thought. And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow and toil not. Neither do they spin. How many of you enjoy planting flowers? Now, for you, do the flowers do anything to look beautiful? Say that again. When it blooms, it blooms. Well, who created it to bloom? God created it to blow. I go over and I cut Bethany's yard. And for some reason, every year I go, I end up starting off with a yellow grass. I didn't plant it. She didn't plant it. It just grows. Who caused it to grow? God. That's what He created it to do. How about the fruit? God created it. It grows. It grows with no help to us. All it needs is the sun. Well, who created the sun? God. It needs dirt. Who created the dirt? We go down the list. You think God had a plan when He created everything, that everything was going to work the perfect way He designed it to work? Think of the birds now. When I was little, we had a small bird feeder that we could suction cup to the window. Every now and then, we'd get a bird come in, but one year, we actually had a blue jay come in and start to build its nest. And just little bit by little bit, it would bring in a twig. It would bring in anything. I mean, we found the lollipop, I can't remember, the blow pops. It brought a blow pop wrapper and tried to make it into its nest. But that bird didn't wake up every morning and begin to think, okay, how am I going to provide? Nope, it just went out and did it. Why? Because God took care of it. We continue reading. Verse 32, for all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all things. God's got it. He's got it through creation. He's got it through the grass. On the same note, in weeds. If you look out in the parking lot, there are weeds in the parking lot. A weed doesn't need soil to grow. It attaches itself to something and it just grows. Who created that? God. We see it in creation. We see it how He provides for the animals. But then we also see it in how He provided salvation for us. Romans chapter 5 and verse 8. But God commendeth His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Ephesians chapter 2. Keep going. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. For by grace are you saved through faith. You ready? Take the thought. We're not worrying. Christ provided for us. That not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. God showed us He got it in creation. God showed us He's got it through providing for the animals, providing for the plant life. He showed us He had it when He died on the cross for you and for me. Let's go to Luke 23. Starting in verse 32. And there were also two other malefactors led with Him to be put to death. And when they were come to the place, which is called Calvary, there they crucified Him and the malefactors, one on the right hand and the other on the left. And Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Verse 43, after the thief on the right asks him to remember him when he enters into his kingdom, "Verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise." Jesus Christ was the only person that could die to save our sins, to save us from our sins.
Amen.
Why? Because he was God. God provided a way for forgiveness of sins. He provides for the birds. He provides for the grass. You know, the plants, they don't toil, they don't work. He provided through creation. If he can provide for them, why are we worried? Why are we worried about what we're going to eat tomorrow? Why are we worried about what we're going to drink? Why are we worried about the clothes we're going to have? Verse 32, "For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things." So if he knows we need all this, why should we worry? What should we do? Instead of worrying, what should we do? Verse 33, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness." He says, and all these things, what you're going to eat, what you're going to drink, what you're going to put on, and all these things shall be added unto you. Don't worry. He's got this.
Amen.
Don't worry. He's going to provide for you what you need. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I do thank you. Lord, that in your word you promise that you're going to provide, that you promise you're going to care for us. I do pray now as we go into the invitation, Lord, that you would help us to commit and surrender to trust you for what we need. I do pray thee all these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Let's all stand, heads bowed, eyes closed. Altars open. Amen. You may be seated. Have one usher. We'll do it. I pray for the offering. Dear Heavenly Father, we do thank you. As you pray, you bless this offering, the gift and the giver, in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. We will see you on Sunday. I hope everybody has a good week. Let's all stand. We'll be dismissed in prayer. Brother Frank, could you please close us in prayer?